en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Again and welcome back. Okay, one more hour. This is the third half hour of our Friday edition. Today is Friday, but it's still very early in the morning. It's 8:30, so we still have to work all morning. A lot of people take off early on Friday. A lot of people take off early. Fíjate cómo digo take off. Take off is quitarse prendas de vestir, to take off your clothes, to take off your shoes, to take off your tie, to take off your scarf. Your what? Scarf. Eso es cicatriz, ¿no? No. Cicatriz is scar. S-C-A-R. Scar. Si añades un F, scarf is bufanda. Anda. Yes. All right. Llevo una bufanda para ocultar mi cicatriz. Well, all right. You wear a scarf to hide your scar. All right. Where, on your neck? Yes. Okay. My daughter, when she was very little, 2-3 años, or, you know, con lengua de trapo. There's a song in English called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder where or what you are. I don't remember the lyrics. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Que titila, 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 pequeña, pequeña estrella. Yes, what? Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. All right. It's a cute song. It's a nice little children's song. Las estrellas titilan. All right. Stars twinkle, twinkle. Seca. No, ca simple, perdona. Twinkle. It's interesting, the verb titilar. I mean, how many times in your life have you said that verb? Maybe when you were a child, often. But it's interesting because I didn't know the verb. I didn't know that verb. However, I knew the famous poem by Pablo Neruda, Veinte poemas de amor. Let's say Neruda, 20 poemas de amor y una canción desesperada. All right. And the most famous poem in that book was about a star. Y las estrellas. No estás. Creo que es el número 20. I'm going to find it. Let's see. Yes, poema 20. Puedo escribir los versos más tristes esta noche. Escribir, por ejemplo, la noche está estrellada y tiritan azules los astros a lo lejos. El viento de la noche gira en el cielo y canta. Puedo escribir los versos más tristes esta noche. Yo la quise y a veces ella también me quiso. Etc., etc. It's a nice poem. Neruda was a very good poet. One of the best. But because when I, in the university, when I was studying Spanish literature, of course I had to read this poem, this famous poem number 20 from the book by Neruda, the book of poetry. And he says, ¿puedo escribir los versos más tristes esta noche? Escribí, por ejemplo, la noche está estrellada y tiritan azules los astros a lo lejos. Interesting questions, porque son azules. But you know, he said tiritan, no titilan. Okay. And so I thought, well, tiritar in English is to shiver. You know, when you're cold. Uy, estoy tiritando. Yeah, it's so cold. So you're shivering. But I thought maybe that that's what they said. And so later, when I was living in Spain, I said, mira cómo las estrellas tiritan. And they said, no, Richard, no es tiritan, titilan. And I said, no, tiritan. Because I was remembering Neruda. And so I learned that night that the verb titilar existed. I didn't know. Twinkle. Now, my daughter, when she was 3 years old or 4 years old, she sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. En vez de pequeña estrella, she said pequeño cicatriz. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what you are. Said, no, Andrea, star. Yes, that reminds me of my nephew, my older nephew. I have two nephews, sobrinos. And the older one, when he was about 4 years old or 3 years old, he liked to sing a song, a very famous song in the United States about the legendary hero Davy Crockett. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. That's how the song starts. And when I was a little boy, when I was 4 years old, that song came out. Yes, that song was released. Yes. When did the song Davy Crockett, when did the song Davy Crockett come out? I think it was 1950. Tinnigan said 1955. All right. Now, well, in 1956 and 57, well, my mother, my parents, gave me a record player. Tocadiscos. People don't have record players anymore. But this is 1957. I was five. Four. This is 1956. I was 4 years old. Living on Greenock Street. This is before Cloverdale. And my parents gave me a record player for 45s only. Said discos de 45 revolutions, RPMs, revolutions per minute, which means singles, not albums, not long plays, LPs, no, singles. And I had a single, and it was interesting, at that time, for a record player to work, you had to connect it to a radio. So I remember in my bedroom, I had a radio and a record player, and I had to connect them. I never listened to the radio. I used it in the connection with the record player. And my mother made the mistake, or my parents made the mistake of giving me, as a birthday present or a Christmas present, that record with the ballad, La Balada de Davy Crockett, the ballad of Davy Crockett. And according to my sister, I played it 40 times a day, for 300 days. And my sister said, I was so sick and tired of the Ballad of Davy Crockett. All right. And I listened to it so much, I internalized it. Davy, no, let me start it higher. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, rey del salvaje, zona fronteriza, donde están los indios y los osos. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, the greenest state in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so he knew every tree. He killed Timabar when he was only three. All right, killed Timabar. Mató un oso cuando solo tenía tres años. Fue criado en los bosques y conocía cada árbol. Nació en la cima de una montaña, en Tennessee, el estado más verde, en la tierra de los libres, o sea, Estados Unidos. The land of the free and the home of the brave. You know that in the American National Anthem, Nuestro Himno Nacional, they say, the land of the free, the last line, you see, lyrics of the National Anthem. And you'll see on the Star Spangled Banner, and the song goes, I can't find it here. C'est impossible. What are the lyrics to the U.S. National Anthem? All right. The last line says, "O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." And then everybody, okay. La tierra de los libres, de la gente libre, y el hogar de los valientes. O sea, es la, donde viven los valientes. It's a nice triumphant song, of course. Yes, but in any case, in Davy Crockett, it turns out, according to this song, it is Tennessee is the greenest state, which is not really true, in my opinion, in the land of the free. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest state in the land of the free, raised in the woods so he knew every tree, kilt him a bar when he was only three. So the singing was done with a Appalachian backwoods accent. He killed a bear when he was only three years old. But they kilt instead of killed, and they say killed him. I don't know how to say that in Spanish. Killed him a bar when he was only three. All right. So I decided that I was going to kill a bear as well. I was 4 years old. My mother gave me a pop gun. Now, a pop gun is a type of gun that's con un corcho delante, pump y cuerda. So you pump. So I was in the backyard of my house at age four, and my mother bought me a coonskin cap. It says gorros hecho de piel de mapache, raccoon. And so I had a coonskin cap and a gun, a rifle. And my mother said, "What are you doing, Ricky?" "So I'm going to kill me a bar." All right. So, but in any case, born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, the greenest state. Now, my nephew, volviendo al tema, my nephew, when he was 4 years old, he also, 30 years later, he knew this song by heart. But he made mistakes, like my daughter with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And he said, "Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest stake in the land of the trees." So instead of saying, "El estado más verde de la tierra de los libres," he said, "El filete vacuno más verde de la tierra de los árboles." Greenest stake in the land of the trees. So we always make these mistakes, when we're little. But it doesn't matter. That's how you learn a language, by making mistakes. So, what shall we do in this third half hour? We have already wasted 13 minutes of the 25 minutes, 26 minutes, really, doing silly things. All right, things I used to be. Cosas que yo antes era. Well, I used to be younger. That's true. I used to be faster. It's true. Of course, I was a fast runner when I was a kid. I was Speedy Gonzalez. I used to be faster. I used to be more patient, I think. As you get older, conforme te haces más mayor, as you get older, it's interesting. As, dos letritas, siempre digo, A-S. A medida que te haces más mayor, conforme te haces. O si hablas en el futuro, conforme te hagas más mayor, verás que. Pero eso es en general. As you get older, you become less patient with certain things. Other things, maybe not. become less patient with administrative questions, bureaucratic questions, having to go to the bank to pay a fine or something just drives you nuts. And you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. Lo vas aplazando y aplazando. Procrastinating, because it's just a pain in the neck. As you say in Spanish, un cuñazo. It's a pain in the neck, so you put it off. You become less patient. Yes, so I used to be more patient, I believe. Yes, I mean, for some reason, you have the expression in Spanish, viejo cascarrabias. And in English, we have the same expression, a cranky old man. I used to be a patient person. Now I'm a cranky old man. Yeah, I didn't used to be a cranky old man. I used to be a better teacher. I think it's true. But I don't know. I think I'm a better teacher now than 30 years ago. The reason I think maybe that's true is because about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I spent a week in Ifrane, scritto Ifrane, which is a very beautiful town in Morocco, in the mountains, about 45 minutes from Fez, Morocco. It's called Ifrane, Ifrane. If you look up pictures, if you go into Google Images and you put Ifrane, and you look at the photographs, it's beautiful. And it is. It's beautiful, beautiful. town, it's called La Suiza Marroquí, is what it's called. And I spent 1 week at a university there. Universidad de los Dos Hermanos. It's an interesting story. I've told the story before. But it's a very interesting story. But that's not the reason. During that week, I gave English classes together with two other Vaughan teachers, with Siobhan and Mickey. You know, Mickey and Marta. Siobhan and Mickey. The three of us spent the week there. And I gave one of my classes. I gave to five workers who worked in the local market selling apples, oranges, bananas. Now, these five men Arabic wasn't their first language. Their first language was Berber. Un idioma beriber. De los beriberis. So, el árabe. That wasn't their first language. And only one of them could speak or understand French. Francais. Because many people in Morocco, of course, understand and speak French. They didn't know English. They were beginners. And I gave them an hour and a half. No, I gave them 2 hours a day. Oh, tough. And these men were about 30 years old. And they, most of them, well, they didn't. Two of them didn't know how to read and write. They were illiterate. The other three could read and write. But they were very basic. And I don't know why the university gave me these men, but I spent 10 hours with them. And by the time we finished on Friday, they were fairly good, really good with the verb to be in the present tense. From it's, I'm, he's, you're, we're there, are they, is it on the floor, is it in the corner, where is it, are they on the table or are they on the floor, where are they? And so they became fairly agile and dynamic with this. And they loved the class. I gave them a taste of good teaching, and they really appreciated it. They really appreciated it. So, and that was in Ifrane. I really recommend that you look up this town in Google Images, Imágenes de Google, because you'll see how pretty it is, especially in the winter, and the campus as well, you can see. And that's where I spent. And so, I think the patience I had with those men, although they were very nice, I really enjoyed it. It reminded me, to tell you the truth, these market workers, o sea, con un tenderete en el mercado, they reminded me a little bit of the students I had when I first started teaching in Spain. I first started teaching. After 1 month, I went out to Guadalajara, to La Central Nuclear de Zorita. And most of my students were employees, not engineers, but technical engineers, peritos técnicos, o sea, ingenieros técnicos, o menos, o currantes ahí, in the plant, workers in the plant. And these people were, this is 1974 and 1975, and these men, the men, were quite basic in their ways. And they remind me of the people I had in Morocco, in Ifran. So I think I'm a good teacher. But maybe I used to be a better teacher. I used to be a better father, although I'm still a good father. But my children don't necessarily need me now as a father. Now my influence on my children is setting an example, dar ejemplo, more than being a father. I used to be taller. You used to be taller. I think I've lost 1 centimeter. I'm shrinking. El increíble hombre menguante. The incredible shrinking man. So I used to be taller by at least 1 centimeter. Places I used to live. I used to live in Houston. Houston, Texas. I used to live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I used to live in Dallas, Texas. I used to live in Austin, Texas. And I used to live in the province of Guadalajara. Antes vivía. Sin especificar, el used to es tan prohibido decir cuándo ni cuánto tiempo. Now, si es preciso, voy al pasado simple. I lived in Houston the first 9 years of my life, except 1 year in New York. I lived in Tulsa from age 9 to age 18. I lived in Dallas from age 18 to age 20. I lived in Austin, Texas, from age 21 to 22, because I was 1 year in Madrid in between Dallas and Austin. I lived in Guadalajara from age 22 to 23. Yes, age 22 to 23. And since then, I've been living, ahora voy al presente perfecto, continuo. And since then, I've been living in Madrid. Things I used to know. Well, I used to know more people than I do now. Yeah. Antes conocía más gente. Yes, it's true, because I was more active in my business. I was constantly with the client, meeting things. So I used to know more people personally than I do now. In fact, I used to know every important company in Spain. Not because every company was a client of mine, but because I was very aware of the companies in Spain. Spanish companies and multinational subsidiaries. So I was always up to date, keeping up to date on what companies were operating in Spain or in the Madrid area, where they were, how many people they had, what the probable need was for English. So I used to know every important company in Spain. And I used to know the answer to every question, philosophical question. Yes, I used to know why we were here. I used to know the answer to every question. Now I don't know the answer to any questions, philosophically. It's not true. I've never thought that I knew the answers. I've always been humble. Humilde. I've always been humble concerning philosophical questions, and I am today as well. I used to think I knew women well. Yeah, maybe when I was 20. Now I know they are Impossible to understand. All right, so now I know I don't know women at all. I don't understand them. I used to think I understood women. Nope. And I was wrong. I used to think I was invincible. But I'm not. Now I know I'm not. I used to think I was the best teacher in the world. Now I know I'm the second or third best. Now, there are a lot of teachers in Vaughan that are better than me. In the classroom. On the radio or in television, I'm not sure, because that requires an additional skill. Losing your fear of the microphone, or losing your fear of the camera. Yes, it's strange how the camera affects people sometimes. Outstanding teachers, you sit them at a table and say, you say, ready, go. And they're not the same. They choke up, they get nervous or something. I don't know. It's not easy. Apparently it's not. For me, it was very, very easy. Because it's fun. I thought, cool, I want to do this. I want to try this. It's an attitude question. But a lot of people suffer stage fright. I'll be right back.
Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney.
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, our last half hour. Shall we begin? Yeah, shall we? Okay. Things I used to enjoy. I used to enjoy traveling in developing countries, developing nations. Third world, they used to say. They used to say third world countries. Traveling in Morocco, in the Palestinian area of Israel, Mexico. I used to enjoy the exotic experience. Although, really, it's not very exotic because you see a lot of poverty. But I used to enjoy experiencing these countries. Now when I travel, I prefer to travel in first world countries, I think, where there's a higher standard of living, more safety usually, etc. I used to enjoy traveling in general. I still enjoy traveling. But I don't feel the desire to travel as much. Yes, to take advantage. To travel, to drive. I used to enjoy driving long distances, you know. But I still do, but not as much. Not as much. To grab my car and drive from Madrid to Santander and back in the same day. Or to drive to Pamplona and back on the same day. To drive to Alicante. I remember once I drove to Alicante and back on the same day. Yeah. I drove there to have lunch. I drove to Pamplona about 4 years ago, 3 years ago to have lunch with members of the Yolanda Barcina government from several years ago. Very good people. Very nice. So I used to, drive a lot. I still do. I mean, the last time I drove a long distance and back on the same day, I drove to Calatayud a year ago. About a year ago, I believe. Well, before, no, maybe a year and a half ago. Before the COVID pandemic, I drove to Calatayud to the military facilities there. I don't know what they call it. I don't know what to call it. Instalaciones Militares Calatayud. Let me try. Instalaciones Militares Calatayud. Bilbilis. Academia de Logística. It's grandísima. I mean, they've got... It's really, really big. I don't know how many how many hectares it is, but it's big. And very interesting. I had a good time there. I drove up there. It takes about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, maybe 2.5 hours, I don't remember, to drive to Calatayud. And then to drive back, of course. Let me check on how long it takes to drive from Madrid to Calatayud. All right. Calatayud. All right. ¿Cómo llegar? All right. Madrid. So it takes, let's see, 2 hours and 40 minutes, according to Google Maps. It takes 2 hours. So I drove there. The last time I drove a long distance in one day, it's 240 kilometers. So on that particular day, I drove 500 kilometers. which is not bad. I mean, it's 300 miles. No sweat. No sweat means no hay mayor problema. Nada de sudar. No sweat. 300 miles, 500 kilometers. But I went up. I arrived around 12 o'clock. Midday, and they showed me around the facilities. Cuando dices facilities, significa instalaciones. And they're enormous. They're enormous. It's an enormous complex. And very interesting, where they repair, where the maintenance for tanks, the maintenance for different types of weapons. And then I gave a talk for about an hour. But what was interesting, I gave a talk to about 700 cadets. I mean, this was a big, big room. And I gave a talk in English, in Spanglish, in both languages simultaneously. And so, but it was a lot. I have a big appreciation for the Spanish military. I enjoy going to Zaragoza or going to Segovia, going to Calatayud. I also went one time to Marín in the Ría de Pontevedra, where they have the Academia Naval, the Naval Academy, and gave a talk there. I soy infante de honor del ejército. So, it was a pleasure for me to go there, to Calatayud. Now, that's the longest drive recently in my life. But I drove to Pamplona and back in one day. Yeah, I drove. And I have driven, let's see, let me put Madrid, and I'm going to go to Madrid. And I go from Madrid, driving to Pamplona. Pamplona, P-A-M-P-L-O-N-A. Pamplona. And that's 400 kilometers. So on that day, I drove 800 kilometers in one day. I drove up, had lunch, and drove back. I was there for maybe 3 hours only, just to have lunch. But it was worth it. It was worth it. I've driven to Burgos several times to have lunch. In fact, twice I've driven to Burgos to have lunch with two important managers in the Universidad de Navarra. And they drove down to Burgos from Pamplona. And I drove up to Burgos from Madrid. And so we met kind of halfway. I did the same thing with Miguel Ángel Revilla, the president of Cantabria. He came down because he didn't drive. He had a chauffeur. He and his daughter came down to Burgos, to Landa, Hotel Landa, Hotel, bueno, they call it Hostal Landa. And I drove up and we had a nice, we had a nice lunch. Interesting man, very interesting man. I ordered gallo a la pepitoria in the restaurant, I remember. And he was intrigued, said, nunca he comido eso. ¿Cómo es? Nunca he comido gallo a la pepitoria. And it's strange because, you know, he's very, very Spanish. Well, very cántabro, of course. But it was good. Gallo a la pepitoria was good. And it was interesting because when we finished the meal, we got up to leave the restaurant. And Miguel Ángel Revilla told me and his daughter, he says, listen, I'm going to visit some of the tables and talk to the people. Wait for me outside. And so his daughter and I walked out of the restaurant and waited in the hotel area for 45 minutes. I mean, he spent 45 minutes going from table to table in Burgos, talking to people. He enjoys that. He's a natural. Is anything in English? Es un natural. He's a natural. That means le sale de forma natural. To sit, be gregarious among people. A ver si dice aquí natural. I'm going to see if I can find it. He's a natural. Let's go to the English-Spanish dictionary. natural. Naturally, all I've got to do is act natural. O sea, natural, lógico, natural. He's a natural. Nato. O sea, una persona con un talento inherente. O sea, he's a natural. Claro, es un talentoso del con don de gentes, o por lo menos del entre, how do you say, desenvolverse entre la gente, que le encanta. He loves doing it. I like doing it too, but I'm by nature I'm more reserved than, at least I think I am. You never know about these people, you know. In public, he's very, very open, very natural, he's very talkative, etc. But maybe in his personal life, he's the opposite. I am a little bit. You know, I do TV, I do radio, I sell English classes, I give talks. And if you see me in public, I'm very pleasant and nice. But then I'm very quiet the rest of the time. And for example, Juan Soto is the same. He's a stand-up comedian and an actor. He's the same. Very reserved. Well, relatively reserved. And I've heard, me han contado, he oído, I've heard that many stand-up comedians, los cómicos profesionales, that many of them are quite shy and reserved. Are you shy and reserved, or are you a natural, like Miguel Ángel Revilla? So I drove to Burgos once and back in the same day for that. But I think the longest drive to go and to come back is I drove to Comillas in Cantabria. Yes, to see, because the government of Cantabria wanted me to visit the complejo. Eso de Universidad de Comillas, the old, la antigua sede. Because they invested a lot of money, but a lot of money. And I drove up there and back on one day. Yeah, that was from Madrid to Comillas. Comillas, in Cantabria. There we go. Comillas, no comillas in Madrid. All right, and that is, how far is that? No, dice, come on, how far is that? By car, okay. No, dice, it doesn't say how far it is in time. Let me try again. Something's wrong. All right, we are in Madrid, fine. Now let's go to Comillas, Cantabria. Let me try again and see if they give me the... That's strange. It doesn't give me the distance nor the time this time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out of the... And I'm going to go back in. Como apagar y encender a veces un teléfono. I'm going to do the same. And I'm going to put Comillas, Cantabria. I'm going to go backwards, the other way. Cantabria. There we go. All right, now, como llegar from Madrid. We'll try again. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Okay. 456 kilometers. So, that's farther than Pamplona. So, I remember once I drove to Comillas. I visited the facilities of the complex, and I drove back. And so that's 460 kilometers. That's 920 kilometers in one day. That's a long drive. And I had lunch there with them, too. Ay, todo por la causa, ¿no? It's quite a drive, but in any case, and the complex in Comillas, it's very, estoy mirando ahora, I'm looking at it right now, the picture. The government of Cantabria has invested a lot of money in that, and I don't know now. I know that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it was a hole, un agujero financiero, it was a financial hole. But I don't know now. I really don't know. But let's find out. Yes. Comillas. Antigua. Sede. Universitaria. Let me see if I can find it. I know that part of the building was rented to an... Yeah, Universidad Pontificia Comillas. Well, that's the university. But I'm interested in the comp because it doesn't belong now. It's not part of the University of Comillas, I think, now. Yes. I don't know. Posteriormente, let's see. In 1978, etc., etc., I can't find anything. Yes, posteriormente se incorporando en nuevos centros de estudio. All right. They're talking about la Universidad de Comillas, la universidad, no la el edificio ese. Yes. I can't find where that... But it's very, very beautiful. It's very, very interesting. Ha sido declarado patrimonio español, this monumento. All right. But I can't find... I'll have to look more carefully. I also have a friend in Cantabria who can send me some information about that. But they put in... When I went to visit it, the government of Cantabria had already invested 40 million... Wait, yes, 40 millones de euros, 40 million euros. And they hadn't... And it was empty. There was not... It was beautiful. It wasn't finished. So they still had to put maybe 10 million more, 20 million more. And it was very impressive. But this is what happens when public entities, like a government, decides to build something. They act like they are entrepreneurs making business decisions. And they build something that's perfect, but it's too perfect. They built big classrooms, which means you don't have small classrooms. Fine. Which means I can't use it. I need small classrooms. And it's not adaptable. It's not elastic. There's no flexibility. They imagine or they visualize a certain type of usage and they build for that. But the people who work in governments, the people in the consejerías or the ministry of they don't have business vision or a business sense of smell, un olfato empresarial. And so they build these incredible cosas faraónicas that later are not viable. They're perfect for what the governmental people envision, but what they envision is not financially or it's not commercially viable. And that's the problem they have with all these things. In Oviedo also, they have a monstrosity that se ha cerrado. They closed it down. I can't remember what it's called in Oviedo. Yes, the Oviedo eyesore. Oviedo, what is it called? Obra Faraónica. Let me see if I can find what it is. It's called... I can't remember. In Oviedo, what it's called. El Centollo, creo que lo llaman. Sí, es el Centollo. Derrumbe, bronca y fuga en el Centollo. Bienvenidos al edificio más gafe de España. Hombre, no es el más gafe. El Centollo en Oviedo. I've been there. I've stayed there twice. And I gave a talk in el Centollo. And I stayed in the hotel. But look at that baby, man. Parece un centollo. Bueno, parece un saltamontes enorme, un gigantesco Godzilla, tan saltamontes. In the middle of beautiful Oviedo. Oviedo is a very nice city. But then you have in Santiago de Compostela the same. I mean, you put Obra Faraónica, Santiago de Compostela. And that was the Manuel Fraga's baby. And then let me see what it's called. La crisis frena la obra faraónica de Fraga en Santiago. ¿Cómo se llama? La ciudad de la cultura. All right. I've been there twice as well. and I gave a talk. They invite me to these things because they think, Richard, you can put English classes here. My God, I can't put English classes in these incredible places that you build because it's not adaptable. And they have all these ideas. They did the same thing, in Valencia with, you know, what it's very beautiful in Valencia. What is it called? Valencia. Every major city has done this thing. All right. And No Me Está Yendo. No Me Está Yendo. I can't remember what it's called. But I see it all the time because I go to Valencia quite often. Oh, what they do with when, you know, they make all these decisions, and when they are spending other people's money, be careful. Claro. Hacen esas cosas porque están gastando dinero de otra gente, no suya. No suyo. It's not their money. Margaret Thatcher said, the socialists lose power when they run out of other people's money. Because they don't know how to generate their own. Our self-generation. But in any case, let's go on. What am I used to? Yes, I'm used to. I used to travel long distances, and now I don't as much. Okay, ahora acostumbrado a. También se usa la expresión used to. Cosas de las cuales estoy acostumbrado. O a los cuales estoy acostumbrado. Things I'm used to. Well, I'm used to getting up early. Yeah, all my life. I'm used to getting up early. I'm used to teaching English. I'm used to teaching on radio. I'm used to teaching on TV. I'm used to dealing with teachers. Sí, estoy acostumbrado a tratar con profes. I'm used to. Todos muda. I'm used to. I'm used to dealing with teachers. I'm used to selling English classes. I'm used to giving speeches and talks. I'm used to doing a lot of things. Yeah. I'm used to coming up here to my little hideout and teaching English on the radio. I'm used to eating Spanish food. Yeah, I'm used to Spanish food. I'm used to driving in Madrid traffic. No problem. I'm used to driving in Madrid traffic. I'm used to driving around the U.S. I like it. In that case, I don't mind long distances. Traveling from Dallas to Albuquerque, New Mexico in one day. Oof, that's long. Traveling from Amarillo, Texas to Austin. Oof, 12 to 11 hours on the road. I'm used to it. Estoy acostumbrado. I'm used to it. Siempre se dice to it al final. I'm used to it. Pero no digas I'm used to eat. I'm used to eat. Parece que dices antes yo comía, ahora no como. I'm used to it. Walking long distances. I'm used to it. I walk usually around 10 kilometers a day. Although today and yesterday I haven't walked more than 5 because I've been busier than usual with other things. But I'm used to walking long distances. What things that I'm not used to? Well, there's certain things I'll never get used to. I'll never get used to noisy restaurants. And I've been living in Spain for 47 years, and I'm still not used to them. I'm still not used to eating in noisy restaurants. Well, if I go alone, you know, if I go to a restaurant by myself, and it's been years, I don't remember the last time I went to a restaurant by myself. But if I sit in a restaurant by myself, it doesn't matter. If it's noisy or not, it doesn't make any difference to me. Because I'm simply 40 years ago, reading a newspaper or a magazine while I was eating. But now, using my cell phone. I'll never get used to it. I'll never get used to noisy restaurants. I'll never get used to people who are chronically late, because I'm my nickname, mi apodo, is Mr. Punctuality. I can't help it. No lo puedo evitar. It's impossible for me to arrive late. I mean, if I have control. Of course, if there's a traffic problem, and, you know, they close 10 streets in Madrid and you can't go anywhere, then I'll arrive late. But if I have control over the circumstances, I never arrive late, never. But I'll never get used to people who arrive chronically late. Yes. And I'll never get used to Spanish mealtimes. People start lunch at 2:30 and dinner at 10, which is not true. I'm used to it. I prefer foreign mealtimes, UK, US. People have lunch in the United States at 12, and they have dinner at 6. That's crazy here. But here I have lunch. When I don't have a business lunch, I have lunch at 12:30 here at home and dinner around 7. So I move. I'm moving back towards the old ways. But I have to go now. I'm going to have to say goodbye. This is Friday. I have my extra hour this evening. Don't forget. But if I don't see you in this evening, have a great weekend and drive carefully. Take care.
¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Campamentos de verano Vaughan, porque aprenden, disfrutan, conviven, juegan, experimentan, hacen amigos y asimilan el idioma de forma natural y pierden el miedo a hablar, abriéndose paso en este complicado mundo de la comunicación en inglés.